friends, etc., spending more than 30 minutes at the dwelling will need to pay rent.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Morena, Celine, how are you today?
Morena, I'm all right, Rachel.
It's been a big old week for renting. We've got actually a lot of questions today, so let's start with storm-related ones. One that's literally just come through right now from Charlie, who says, "Hello, bathroom had a leak and had to be fully redone. Flooring buggered, etc. Basically have had no bathroom for 3 weeks while getting renovated. What's the landlord supposed to do? She asked us to shower elsewhere. We have 2 kids. I have an outdoor bath we're using instead, but I am curious. What's the deal here, Celine?"
Well, as always, it's a tricky one because I guess this is not necessarily, like, it's a flood.
Yeah, this is not pre-storm last week, maybe, but yeah.
Pre-storm, and looking about the storm stuff, it seems like there's things left in our regulation that talk about acts of God. Bizarrely, so in terms of like an environmental or natural disaster, which we'll move on to after this one, I think, it's there's certain things that the landlord has to do. Whereas this, obviously, it has to be dealt with.
Yep.
I don't actually know what the what they have to provide if there's no bathroom.
Yep.
It seems I haven't really been able to work out yet, in the sense that it's still not really livable, is it?
Totally.
But I guess it is. They could argue that you're still able to live in it if you're showering elsewhere. So I don't actually know, I'm afraid. I'd have to do a bit more research. But that seems ridiculous, and I would really get in touch with a specific advocate who will know more than me about other cases where that has happened, and what the terms are that you can say okay to that, or what's too long. I feel like it's so contextually specific that you want, like, a specific advocate.
We might come back to this one maybe next time we have you on, if we can get a little bit more specific stuff. But it definitely feels like something where your landlord should be providing you with perhaps a rent reduction, or at least some sort of alternative bathroom, I guess, facilities.
My assumption would be, in discussing the things to do with the flood, there's some things there about it being, like, parts of the property not being habitable.
Mm.
But I will do some more research, because I do have a friend who has lived through this situation during a COVID outbreak as well, where they were made to shower elsewhere.
That's great.
So, really handy situation. Yeah. I will report back on that one.
Thank you for texting that one in, Charlie. We'll touch base on it again next time we have Celine on. But let's talk about the flood. We've had lots of messages about the flooding the heavy rain and how that's affected people's living situations. Somebody has said, "Hey, Celine, our flat flooded in the storm last week. My flatmate's room, which is downstairs, is unlivable. She's currently staying somewhere else, but our property manager is on our back about her rent. She shouldn't have to pay, right? And what does that mean for the rest of us? Are we expected to pay the same rate as before? We're still living in our rooms, but the whole house is damp AF and it smells awful. Honestly, I would like to move, but that's going to take some time. Help."
Okay, well, it's horribly common, I would say, in this last bit of weather we've had. I know so many people living in downstairs flats, under villas, who have been flooded. And in doing research about this, it looks like there's kind of it depends on whether the property is classed as, like, habitable still or completely inhabitable. So it is something like a flood or an earthquake is seen as the landlord's responsibility. So it's, again, it was classed as an act of God in some of the things I read. And
bonkers phrasing.
Which is interesting. So it is the landlord's responsibility to fix. And it's basically, they need to be fixing it. But other than that, it is, as usual, you could imagine, kind of a little bit murky. So basically they're saying, if there's been some kind of disaster or flood or something, get in touch with your landlord, or the landlord will get in touch with you, you'd hope, to check everyone's safe. and then to talk about and discuss the extent of the damage and whether you think you need to not be living there if it's impossible to live in at the moment. So if you can't be living there and you're living somewhere else and it's being fixed, they really, you shouldn't be paying rent while you're not, while it's not inhabitable. If you are living there while it's being repaired and it's classed as like, and again, classing it as habitable is like kind of a discussion you have with the landlord.
Yeah.
So it's, this is again all really, really blurry, and the impetus is on the tenant to kind of get to a point where they can argue that it's not habitable. So if you are still living there, there's no specific, no specific call that they have to reduce the rent. They're told they could consider it.
Right.
So as usual, I would say that you want to look up your resources online, and really there's just so many little kind of specific elements of it, but I would get advocates to help you as well if you need it. So I would say landlords are responsible for maintaining the property, so it has to be brought back to a reasonable condition of living. That also includes drying. So if it's flooded and it's damp and all of that, the drying of it is also something that has to be sorted out. The payment of rent is kind of another tricky issue. So if you're not living there and they've agreed it's not habitable for you and you're living off-site, then you shouldn't be paying rent for that part that's uninhabitable. Again, it gets confusing when they say if part of it's uninhabitable, not all of it, then it's like there could be a rent reduction.
Yeah.
Basically, there's no good direct answer. But if that's starting to kind of illustrate that it's their responsibility, needs to be repaired. If you can stay, you should be advocating and arguing for a rent reduction and whatever else you think you deserve, but you may need support in doing that. And I would just keep, would look to the Citizens Advice Bureau, I would look online and look at the kind of specifics of how they class damage.
Good
if
to
that
know.
Makes sense. Sorry, that is such a complicated...
No, it's a complicated complicated situation. I hope that that flat is doing all right and that you're not feeling too grossed out. Awful thing to have to live in. What else have we got here, Zoe?
This person says, hello, our flat ceiling leaked so bad in the rain on Monday, and this is like the third time that this has happened in the 2 years we have lived here. We have asked our property manager to do something about it literally so many times now, and so far all they have done is pay a carpet cleaner to sort of hoover at the stain. We want the roof fixed. What do we do?
This is I'm terrible. I'm sorry. All of these genuinely are just so stressful. Starting with cleaning the carpet is not really enough, especially if it's been something that's been happening continuously.
Yeah.
I would say, again, as a specific situation, I would go to the CAB or talk to the Tenants Protection Association and really understand your contextual situation and what they advise is the like best first thing to do. But my thinking would be that you can do a notice to remedy. So if your property manager is being really slack, I would look on tenancy services, and there's stuff about like a 14-day notice to remedy. So if the ceiling is not being fixed and they're not following up on it, you can kind of do something slightly more with a time limit on it. That escalates things, which then means if that doesn't happen, you might be talking about some kind of mediation, but it basically it makes serious the situation you're in, which is serious.
Totally.
So
yeah.
Especially if you're looking at healthy homes and the regulation around what is a habitable home, a ceiling that continues to leak and has clearly never been properly addressed is a big concern, especially going into winter.
Mm-hmm.
I would get more help. Also, at the moment, I feel like so many people are in similar situations.
Yeah.
You may have friends that have dealt with this recently too.
Yeah.
And they're probably a really good resource as well.
Yeah, it's not an uncommon one. I like personally know of people who have gone through this as well. So solidarity with those people.
Absolutely.
Notice to remedy might be your best option there. But as you say, Celine, it's always good to go and get some support from people like the TPA, the Tenants Protection yep. Association, and the Citizens Advice Bureau, so that they can really get your context as well. We'll put all the links, as we always do, in the podcast after the show. I think we've got time for one more, and then we might have to save up the others for next time. But this is a non-flooding question. Someone's said, "Hi, Celine, we suspect our landlord might be about to sell the house. The property manager has been sprucing it up a lot recently. How much notice do they have to give us? And also, if we ask the property manager about it, does he have to be honest with us?"
Okay, it is always a scary thing where you see repairs that have never been happening before suddenly happening. Basically, they can sell the house while you're still in it. So it may not necessarily be an eviction, but they do, so they need to tell you. If they're going to put the property on the market while you're living there, the landlord needs to tell you in writing. So you shouldn't be having a real estate agent turn up on the step and start to, you know, take photos, whatever. But if you're a tenant in a house that is going to go on the market, you need to know that, and then you're having conversations with the landlord about, you know, them taking photos and what's allowed, and you have rights as people living in that property. Obviously, that is not an ideal situation. Sometimes the property might sell and then it still be tenanted after it's sold, but we understand that is not always the case. The other thing is that we don't have no-fault evictions anymore, so you can't get evicted for no reason.
Yep.
But there are things and mechanisms that are used often to evict people for different reasons. So you can evict tenants if you're selling the property, but there are kind of timelines around that. So there are ways to get compensation if, in general, if this is happening, and especially if it's not happening, like, to the law. So if your landlord intends to put the property on the market, it needs to be within 90 days of the tenant leaving. So you also, they need to put on the market within 90 days after you've left, but they also need to give you at least 90 days written notice if you're on a periodic,
yep.
And then there's kind of two different time periods to do with the rule change. So fixed term, but I would look up exactly that. So they need to be giving you written notice, so it's at least 90 days, and then you could get into a conversation with them and say, well, we're going to leave earlier, but we need compensation for this, and mm-hmm. moving, and it can kind of be a conversation there. Obviously not an ideal situation at all, but just know that there's specific things they have to do, and if you're feeling like they're not following that, I would definitely get in contact with someone for some help there.
With that second part, does the property manager have to be honest with them? That's a tricky thing. What's the deal with that? Because I can imagine if you wanted to say, hey, is this going to be sold, and the property manager hasn't quite confirmed all of that yet, do they have to say, yeah, they're thinking about it? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, that is a really difficult one, and I do not know. And we don't have good kind of support around dealing with things like that, too, with honesty. It's like it feels like a weird honesty code situation.
Mm.
My advice would be, and there may be a different answer. They may have to be honest, but I really just don't think that's kind of enshrined in any kind of law, unfortunately. I would just say that record everything and keep records of every interaction you have.
Yeah.
And then if it seems like they have not told you the truth, and then within 90 days they're like obscured what's actually happening, it might not be that them not telling you is the problem, but it might end up bolstering your case in other ways to show that it was kind of done unlawfully.
Yeah.
So I would just keep all the emails, try and keep your interactions, and try and hold them to account if you can, but I don't know if there's a way to enforce that, really. Unfortunately, we really are not in the position of power in that relationship.
One day on this segment, Celine, we'll be like the victors. It'll be like the tenants have all the rights here, and actually you're going to be so all good.
One day there'll be a happy answer.
We dream of that day. Hey, thank you so much for your wise advice. We'll put all the links up in the podcast after the show. Have a great week, Celine, and we will talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.